If you have your Bibles this morning, please open them up with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to continue studying the biblical requirements of the pastor. Now, last week we looked a little deeper at verses 1 and 2, and then we studied one requirement of verse 3. And today we are going to be studying and finishing off verse 3. Now, if you found the text, if you're able to, please stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's word and look with me at verse 1. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless this time that we have around your word. Bless your word. Use it to encourage us today. Strengthen our understanding of you and this chapter, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to gather around your word today. In your name I pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, can someone remind me, what is the grounding of the pastor? That's right, it is integrity. Every point that we are looking at and will continue to study in this text is linked to integrity. Let's not forget that moving forward. All right, look with me at verse 3. Not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. Now, last week we considered not given to wine. But here, point 2 is not violent. This is an aspect of self-control. The pastor should be level-headed, which is connected to temperate that we saw in verse 2. Now, as we continue here in verse 3 a little further, we see gentle and we see not quarrelsome, which I believe is connected here to not violent. Now, not violent, as most of us know, violence is using physical force to hurt or damage someone. Violence is the complete opposite of what a pastor should be. He is a shepherd, there to care for his sheep, to nurture and protect them, not to abuse them. And we also see here gentle. This is someone who is kind and is tender to the needs and cares of others. Someone who is not harsh and someone who wants to help. Now, I would also see this as someone who is willing to give grace to another, to be courteous and open the door for opportunities to listen and take the time to understand. And then we see not quarrelsome. Now, this is someone that does not have to be right about everything. You are open to the possibilities of new information and change. The one who quarrels is the one who will have a heated argument over a trivial issue. This is linked to being contentious, which means causing or likely to cause an argument. Now, no one is comfortable around a contentious person. They do not uplift the spirit. They are not helpers to the soul. They are backbiters. They bicker. They stir up the hornet's nest, so to speak. Now, Proverbs offers instruction of what it is like to live with someone who has a contentious attitude. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 15 and 16 says, "A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand." Now, that gives us a pretty clear picture of what it's like to live with a contentious person. Now, let's look at the last two requirements here in verse 3 because they're linked. Greedy for money and not covetous. So in greedy for money, the King James calls this filthy lucre, because lucre is money when it is earned in a dishonorable way. In other words, the pastor should not use his status or any immoral way to gain money. He should be satisfied with what the Lord provides. And then here for not covetous, This is not being a lover of money. That's not your goal for being in the ministry. Some people become a doctor because it pays a lot, even though they are doing good things. Their motive is the finances. That should never be the motive for the pastor. Now, pastors should be more concerned about the spiritual needs and welfare of people than he is about money. And I think this is an appropriate time to talk about whether or not a pastor should be paid. I think this is an important topic to discuss because there are precedents in Scripture. And there is a reality that all churches are going to have a pastor. And in order for him to be in a place, he is either going to have to work a secular job outside of the church or be paid by the church. And we should consider what that looks like and also consider what the pastor's response and responsibility is in this. And I believe that there are a couple more thoughts connected to this that we as a congregation need to be careful with. Now turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to look at several verses provided by the Apostle Paul here in 1 Corinthians. Now in this chapter, let's begin with a history lesson from the Old Testament. We're going to skip down to verse 13, which says, "Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar?" Now, if we go back to the Old Testament, we see how the priests were supported. Now, if we consider Numbers chapter 18, starting in verse 8, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Aaron, 'Here I myself have also given you charge of my heave offerings, all the holy gifts of the children of Israel. I have given them as a portion to you and your sons as an ordinance forever. This shall be yours, the most holy things reserved from the fire, every offering of theirs, every grain offering and every sin offering and every trespass offering which they render to me shall be most holy for you and your sons. In a most holy place you shall eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy to you. This also is yours, the heave offering of their gift with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them to you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. All the best of the oil, all the best of the new wine and the grain, their first fruits, which they offer to the Lord, I have given them to you. Whatever first ripe fruit is in their land, which they bring to the Lord, shall be yours. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. Every devoted thing in Israel shall be yours." Now, from there, the passage continues to describe what is given in offerings. But we see that the priests are being taken care of by the people that come to the temple to bring an offering. Now, every offering that they bring to the Lord, there is a portion taken from it and given to the priests and their families. And this is how the priest was supported. Now, if you think about it, the priest was in the temple all day, every day, overseeing the people as they came to offer prayers to the Lord and to bring offerings to him. The priest's life was spent in service to the Lord. He had no other time to go out and work in a position of employment to afford the needs for his family. The Lord took care of his needs through the work that he did for the Lord. Now, what about pastors? How does God take care of them? Well, let's go back to our text here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul is speaking to the believers in Corinth about his right and their responsibility toward the elders or pastors in their ministry. Look with me starting in verse 1. "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this: do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working?" Now, Paul is arguing that if you have a pastor over you, there is expectation that the church is going to care for the pastor. Now, what about those that have wives or children? Is the expectation that the pastor will take care of all of his own needs while taking care of all of the spiritual needs of the church? Now, Paul is working outside of the church. He's working a secular job, and he's not taking money for his work in the church in Corinth, and so is Barnabas. And we'll get to that reason in just a few minutes. But here, Paul is arguing that because of both his and Barnabas' work in the church, they should be supported by the church. Look with me at verse 7. Paul says, "Whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock?" Now, Paul uses an analogy here in verse 7. When a soldier goes to war, he is provided for. The fighting material is provided, the food is provided, the soldier doesn't have to pay his own way to fight. And who plants a vineyard or a crop and doesn't eat of the food or partake of the bounty of it? Who tends the flock without having the right to the things of the flock? Now, Paul is showing us that the pastor should have the right to expect benefits from the labor that they put in. If this is the expectation of any worker in the secular field, then it should be the expectation of those in the spiritual field just as much. Look with me at verse 8. "Do I say these things as a mere man? Or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, 'You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain.' Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say altogether, 'For our sakes'? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more?" Now, Paul quotes Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 4. And here in verse 9, he does that. "This is from the law of Moses, that you should not muzzle the ox, preventing it from the blessing of its labor. The ox helped plow the field, and while it is working to crush the grain, if you muzzle it, you prevent it from partaking in its rightful blessing." Now, we see this principle that Paul reminds the Corinthian believers here through verse 12, and that is, the laborer has every right to partake in the harvest, to share in the bounty, because of the work that they did in plowing the field, planting the harvest, watering the seeds, and harvesting the crop. Now, this is what Paul had done, and he had every right to partake of the blessings of the harvest. Now, I've heard arguments for why you shouldn't pay a pastor. Now, there are many arguments against paying your pastor, and I'll share with you just three today. One argument was that in New Testament times, those in a church did not pay their pastor, but they cared for him and took care of his needs in their home. And we see in the Gospels, Jesus sending his disciples out practicing this same care. In Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, 'Take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there. And from there, depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them.' So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." Now, I would argue that we are in a different culture than of that day. Most churches were in people's homes, and the houses were within a short walk of each other. People did not travel very far on a day-to-day basis, and most people walked to get where they needed to go. Those in the church shared in housing the pastor and his family and shared with them of their food. Now today, our church meets in a building, separate from houses. We are spread out in ways that would make it very difficult to walk back and forth. We have the need for motorized transportation that costs money, and the gas costs money. We have housing to care for our own families and their needs. We have a very different structure that would be inconvenient, even difficult to take care of the pastor and his family in this same way. Now, another argument is that a pastor is in service to the Lord. Therefore, he needs to remain humble. If he is paid, his humility will be removed. A pastor should stay poor so that they stay humble. Now, first, if being poor keeps one humble, then all Christians should be poor, because we are all called to be humble. Second, I don't know of any Bible preaching pastors that are rich. most pastors are not paid enough in their lifetime to be in that class. Others give greatly of what they receive back into their ministry. Now I'll give you one more argument that I have heard for not paying your pastor, and it does hold some weight, is that once you pay your pastor, you make certain mental expectations that he will take care of the bulk of the ministry. In some cases, people pay more in their tithe for the purpose of paying more into the ministry so that they can do less. And the expectation being that you are paying for a service, and the more that you pay, the less you should have to do. Now, the problem is that this is completely contrary to the New Testament teaching on the responsibilities of the Christian. We should want to partake in the care for the pastor, for the effort that he makes in caring for our own spiritual lives. And we should make every effort to help encourage our other brothers and sisters in the Lord, evangelize the lost, disciple new converts, and grow in the Lord. Because that is what we have been called to do as Christians. Now, there's this idea that pastors live the easy life, that they work few hours in a week and always take Mondays to go golfing. Now, I don't even like golf. I have more fun driving those carts around than trying to hit a really small ball into a hole that's way far away. Now, pastors spend their time on their knees fighting for your souls before God. They encourage, they help, they disciple. They work to help develop your spiritual journey so that you can learn and know God on a much deeper level. Most of the pastors I know work well past the average work week schedule in preparation to help their flock. Churches should pay their pastors because churches reap the benefit of caring and helping and giving extra blessing to their pastor. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6 says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." Now, we are not done. This is a good philosophy that the congregation of the church should consider. But there is another philosophy that needs to be considered by the pastor. Let's look together back at our text here at 1 Corinthians at the rest of verse 12. The Apostle Paul says, "Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ." Now, the Apostle Paul taught the Corinthian believers that he had the right to be paid by the church, to partake in financial blessings. However, in this instance, he was refraining. Now, if we continue in the text, we would see that his reasoning was because of false teachers that had come through teaching for the purpose of financial gain. And he did not want anyone to think that about him or Barnabas. So there were some fences that needed to be mended before enough trust was there to be able to take on compensation. Now, Paul did let them know that other churches were paying him to minister to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7 through 9, it says, "Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything, I kept myself from being burdensome to you. And so I will keep myself." Now, the second philosophy that I want pastors to consider is that in taking a wage, you are not causing a hindrance to the church or a burden that may cause undue stress to the ministry. Now, oftentimes the ministry is too small for a pastor to benefit from the full blessings of his ministry, like other pastors who have much larger ministries receive from theirs. And that's okay, because if God is in it, he will take care of the needs of the pastor. Now, I know of other pastors that have worked bivocationally for years. Even our own missionaries, Dan and Debbie Weimer. Dan has worked for the local public school system as a janitor for years because they are not supported enough to take care of their needs. Now, I know a Northern California pastor who is married. He has a couple of kids. His wife works, and he works two jobs as well as being a pastor. And because the church is too small to be able to care for them. But they continue on because the ministry to them is more important than wealth. And God always provides. Now, pastors, be open to God providing by other means when your ministry is not at a size where they can support you. The goal is to see the ministry of God grow spiritually, but never to hinder the ministry's growth. The Apostle Peter addresses those who minister to the church. He says in 1 Peter chapter 5, 2 through 4, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Shepherds will receive the crown of glory, and God will supply all of their needs, sometimes through the church and sometimes through a secular job, and even sometimes through other ministries or other jobs and other people. Now, as long as we are open to being used for God's glory in and through his ministry, God will use us and God will take care of us. I want to end with a portion of a passage in Matthew chapter 20, where Jesus is talking to his disciples. You may be familiar with it. The mother of James and John approaches Jesus and asks for them to sit on Jesus' left and right when they are in his kingdom. And Jesus explains that they do not know what they are asking because they would have to be God in the flesh and partake in his death on the cross in order to do that. And really, it was God the Father's decision and not his own. Now, this upset the other 10 disciples, and they started throwing out questions and started getting, hasty there. And Jesus brought them all together and reminded them of something very important, that even though the Gentile rulers assert their authority and dominance over everyone as if they were the mightiest of kings, that should not be the focus for a follower of Christ. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 through 28 says, "Yet it shall not be so among you," as Jesus says, "but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Now let me ask you this. What is the primary responsibility of the Christian? It is to humbly serve God. And what is the primary responsibility of the pastor? It is to humbly serve God. Don't let the things of this world distract you. The point of Christianity isn't things, it isn't earthly treasure, it isn't what we can get out of this world. The point of Christianity is to serve God. And when we're serving God, and we put our trust in him, and we are praying to him and have a wonderful relationship with him, as long as we are faithful to him, God will provide for our needs, regardless if we are in the congregation or if we are the pastor. Our focus should not be about what we can get out of something. We should continue to serve faithfully as the Lord leads, humbly and obedient before him, and allow him to take care of our needs. Our focus today should be about humbly serving God. Let him figure everything else out. Let him take care of providing for our needs. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the text here as we continue to study through the requirements of the pastor. Lord, help us not to forget that you have called us to be generous to others, that you have called us to take the things that you have given to us and to use to be an encouragement to meet the needs of others. Lord, you don't give us blessings for us to hoard them, for us to hold on to just what we want with them, but you call us to be obedient with them and give them back. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would approach you in humility, loving you, serving you, being obedient to you. We thank you for the blessings that you give to us. I pray that we would pay that forward and be a blessing to others. I also pray, Lord Jesus, for pastors in their ministries. Help them not to worry about where the finances are coming from. And those missionaries at the same time and other Christian workers who are out on the field or serving you somewhere, Lord God, help them not to fear where the finances are coming from, Lord God, but let them in prayer leave it at your feet. Lord, help them to humbly come before you and continue to be obedient, and you have promised that as we are faithful, you will take care of our needs. I pray for all pastors today that we would not be a drudge on our ministries, Lord God. Help us not to pull them down with expectations, Lord. Our expectations should not be on the ministry to provide for our needs. Our expectation should be on you, and you will take care of us through the ministry and through your whole ministry, the church, through other people, Lord God, through you, and by your other means. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you continue to bestow upon us, Lord. Help us to continue to humbly come before you, to serve you out of a full and obedient heart. Help us to be a blessing to others this week, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray these things. Amen.